Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Potentially against Miami. And here's the thing, because you're never going to get a higher spot than what you are, right? Group of five champ. And so that's why you don't need to try to shoot off and win. They're not going to make you number one.
Yep.
That's not what your aim is for. And so yep. That's why I would say they need to be very careful in this Miami game.
Yep.
And you have to stop short of saying lay down, but health has to be the priority, because you have a conference to go win after this.
Yep. Yep.
And they're right there. I mean, they're on the precipice of having a really special season. So you want to protect that as much as you can. I'm not getting Byram killed against Miami.
Yeah, you got to be seriously pretty prudent about that. Because the you've already done way more than you needed to do just getting two out of these three.
You know, he's born in Moscow.
Byram. Oh, Alex Gullish. Yeah. I didn't know that. Now, did he grow up there?
Quite the story. No, he grew up in like Brooklyn. They moved over. But
yeah.
Son of Russian parents.
I met a Russian guy this weekend. He was
small world.
Yeah, he was at the Germantown Fest selling paint. I bought a painting from him.
What, you're getting more out and about than I thought. You saw Dan Williams out somewhere, and then now you saw a man that you bought a painting from, a Russian man.
Yeah, he paints. I can't remember. You have to forgive me. I don't remember his name, but he paints arenas. Like, you know, like he does like the paintings of, you know, for the Forum and Simmons Bank. And he had a beautiful painting of the Forum that I bought. And he was telling me that, you know, he lives in Nashville, but he comes down to the Germantown Fest every year.
Okay.
To sell his paintings. He had everything. He had, you know, Cub Stadium, Wrigley Field. He had everything. But he says he has to make that stop at Germantown because he just must sell a ton. And it's a print, right? It's a nice print.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it framed and everything.
Get framed.
Yeah. So for the old room there.
Very nice.
So, you know, and I said, listen, I'm not going to judge you for the, you know, for what's going on.
I guess he's got to wait to paint the new Simmons Bank.
I don't think he's going to wait.
You have to wait. We don't know what's going to really good, because we've changed the plans on it. We don't even have the same like deck, and so we changed the plans. He has to wait to see what it looks until it's fully done.
It's the old Liberty Bowl, bro.
He can't paint off the blueprint.
Yeah, well, he's got an old painting. He's got like it was done, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about the old one. I'm saying he's gonna have to do a new one.
Well, he will. You're right. He'll have to update it because it will be different.
Well, I'll be interested. I'll be curious. I'll be looking forward to seeing it at the next Germantown Fest.
The next
this
year
was. You didn't invite me, so.
Well, would it be?
I guess you have to be a German. Do you take y'all take IDs out?
We don't.
There?
We don't.
I'm sure you do.
It's very close to the house.
You and Palazzola out there.
Yep. Yep. I think is that his name? The
did
mayor.
Did Brad hit it? Brad,
of course I was there.
Brad, of course.
You know who
was
else
there.
Was there?
Dan Williams.
No.
No.
You know who else was there?
Who?
Oh, really? He was out there?
Me and Tomas hung out at the commissary booth and sat down and ate lunch together.
How about that?
Wait a minute. You had lunch with Tomas Isolo?
Yeah, right there by the kids' bouncy.
What'd y'all have?
I don't know what Tomas had. I think he got a barbecue nachos, maybe? I went to the corn dog stand, and my wife and my kid went to the commissary one, so I had to rejoin them at the commissary booth.
And were you as smitten and as wooed by Isolo as Zach Kleiman was when he identified him years ago, I'm sure at some point, maybe in France and Paris, as the guy I want as my next head coach? Did you feel that in that face-to-face that you had with Isolo?
So, as you all very well know, I separate personal and professional very easily. And he seemed like the best ever resident of Germantown. Perhaps he lives there or nearby.
He got to be a resident, so I was told.
He may not be a resident, actually. I think he might live in East Memphis. But, I mean, seemed like he was enjoying himself. I mean, you saw it, John. Weather out there, tremendous. They had like, it seemed like 1,000 booths out there.
A lot of booths.
So that was a lot of talking around. The answer is no. He's not buying in.
You've heard my take on how he's going to do as a Grizzlies
I was
coach.
Looking if you
That's
flip.
Different than how I think it. He seems like a very nice guy.
Isolo
Love
didn't
his
convention.
Haircut. He's got the best haircut ever. I wish I had a haircut like that.
Well, way to deflect.
Yeah.
We need the coaching performance on the floor to match the cut.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a great looking cut.
There's no doubt about
it. He looks the part.
He's
tall.
He's Finland, right? Finnish.
I think that's right. I think it is Finnish. Yeah.
You really could have Finland of the Eurobasket. You know, I think they're still hanging around. Lauri Markkanen and them.
He used to play for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got to be very proud right now that they made it to the knockout stage.
I'm sure he is, you know. He's probably consumed by, you know, just getting ready for the season with the Grizzlies and all the injuries they're going to have to deal with without their drafted center, you know. Like, he's probably got a lot on his mind.
Eurobasket. Finland is playing Georgia tomorrow in the quarterfinals. They should. I believe they're favored, so they're going to be favored to make the semis.
In the words of Bart Scott, can't wait.
Serbia out. France out. Finland still playing.
Wow.
Serbia looked like they didn't care.
They did not care. They lost one of the Bogdanoviches.
Bogdanovic.
He's gone. See, that's why, you know, you guys want Ja to be an Olympian. You want Jaren to be an Olympian, but he tore his hamstring playing for his country.
It's not worth it.
You know, I mean, it's just, and the Clippers, when you know, they kind of needed him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
They're not going to have him. He's going to miss the first 3 months of the season now.
It is a double-edged sword.
I mean, we'd love Ja as an Olympian. We don't need him as an Olympian. Because, like, of all guys that could play and get hurt, he would be top of the list.
That man don't play when he's not in the Olympics.
How do you think Isolo's going to do, Jason? You like Is?
I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
We've talked about
that. I mean, that's what I'm going by, too, what I've seen.
I've not had a face-to-face with him, though, where he could give me his, you know, break down his system and how it's going to work
everything else.
Like you had that opportunity, and apparently he didn't get that done with you.
He seemed to, I can be a nice person. That doesn't mean I'm good at my job.
What you're telling me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is you said, isn't this a lovely day at the Germantown Fest? And you kept it social as opposed to ask him about his job.
I was excited. I turned around to coach in line. This is funny because nobody recognized him. Like, he could have been me. Just standing there at the damn commissary booth. And I said, Coach, congratulations on the job. And Jake goes, and then, you know, like, is that, that's Isolo? I'm like, yeah, that's Grizzlies coach right there. And so he just was like, chilling it.
No, he seems like a chill guy. It kind of bothers me a little bit how chill he is, though.
Super chill.
He's a little too chill for me. Because, there were times where, you know, he would sit on his hands a little bit and not challenge plays and not. So I do worry a little bit, he's got to be able to turn it up a notch. I don't know that he can, but we'll see.
I don't think he's going to get anybody's ass, to your point.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's the problem is there needs to be a little bit of that with this group. And, you know, I think he is, I really do. I worry because it happens all the time in the NBA. He will not be the first coach it happens to, and he will not be the last, but I could just see his personality getting absolutely bowled over in that locker room.
Yep.
Just nobody's listening. Tuned out. He's not cutting through. I worry about it, man. I truly, truly. And again, Fizdale happened here with the Grizz. You know, Mark didn't want any part of it, and he was gone.
A little too hunky dory.
I mean, I don't know if it's hunky dory. It's just more like, you know, he's all about basketball.
Yeah,
he's just basketball. And, you know, the NBA is about a lot more than just basketball. It's about personality management. It's about respect. You know, and. Wins will get you respect. I don't know how many of those there will be this year.
Yeah,
and I think that's that's really, really tough.
And you're doing it with a much different roster terms of how it's constructed than what you've had.
That's right.
The last few years when you've been a success and you know, okay, Big Three kind of gets us at least here. Let's see what we can do. You've taken a step back.
Absolutely.
Whether folks want to acknowledge it or not, with the roster. And so you're asking now, does the system work with a roster that we don't know yet is going to hold up?
And here's the thing, right? I think when you come into a place, it's so important because when Ja Morant, Ja Morant's rookie coach was Taylor Jenkins. They basically came in at the same time, right? So that's all Ja knew. They came in together. He kind of looked at Taylor Jenkins at that time. He's like, this is my road dog. He's my first coach in the NBA. We're going to build this thing together. I'm a rookie. I'm not calling any shots yet. I'm just here to soak it up and learn, right? So they build together, And by the end of it, man, it didn't matter. Even though they were doing the little dances and the handshaking and stuff, it did not matter. Now you got year seven Ja, who's been in the league for 7 years, and who thinks he's got kind of a certain way of doing things, and he does have a certain way of doing things, and now you're putting him with a first-time NBA head coach. It ain't the same. it ain't the same. I don't have any information on this, but I just think though, like, I don't know how well that's going to work.
Well, together. He liked it when it was good for him last year, even right. in a situation where right. you're losing those last nine games, you're falling for, but you know,
yep.
the numbers were up for him. He went right back to the lineup, like,
yep,
and looked to be happy. And I didn't think it was just coach speak, him talking about Isolo off season, everything else,
right,
and him saying those good things. I thought. Because of what he saw, okay, this is good for me.
Exactly, that's true.
And Ja, when it's good for him, from what we know, he's going to be a happy
that's right.
guy.
That's right.
And so, but the thing is, we're talking about 82-game season, then playoffs.
No doubt.
Like, does it work through the long haul?
Exactly.
And so, here's the thing, and I'll bottom line it this way. Kleiman might have decided, in taking this step back, we're sort of hitting the reset button. We're doing it with that Phoenix pick. We got Coward that we're banking on.
Yep.
But it's a bunch of new guys that we're hoping to find a new system with, yep. right? And you can say Isolo is going to be my coach through that. Because, again, it's transition. And you can say you've identified him for that. And that's so you can say, hey, this is a new window for us. It goes back to what you said, though. Is Ja down with that? Brad and I talked about it the whole time. Patience on his part. Mm. He's not a guy who's shown great, you know. He's been through two agents, John. Brad and I had this conversation. I didn't get to have it with you. But he's not a guy who just stays, hey, with the norm, here's my routine. He flips it up. And so can you get him to buy into a reset that might take 2 or 3 years? And we're getting into, what, year 7, 8, 9 at the age he is when he's talking about, I need to have a takeoff year. That's my concern.
Yep.
You know, Kleiman might think he has his guy, and he's going to give him the time it takes to get it right. Could be a couple seasons. We'll see when I get you that roster. But is Ja going to be down for all that? That's right. Their biggest question.
It is. And it's going to be fascinating in that way to see, you know, how it all unfolds. All right, we'll come back. Dan Williams is going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about NFL, you know, college football this weekend. Tennessee got a big one at home against Georgia. All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John on China FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be here for you. If you're buying or selling a home, they're the team you need to call, because regardless of the market conditions, they get results. They've been doing it forever. They've seen the highs, the lows. They're going to be transparent. They're going to be straightforward, so that on the, you know, very, very ground floor of the process, everybody's on the same page. Communication is key, and that is what you get with the Live Love team. But to do that, you got to reach out. SoldToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
You can call 901-625-5200 as well. Get a hold directly of Jennifer Carson's and her wonderful team. Don't even worry. Spanish speaking, they've got you. They've got agents that speak Spanish and Mandarin, so you're covered through all language barriers, any language barrier. Jennifer, the point is she's going to get it done for you, because she has, as John said, for years and years and through every market. Key is pricing that home correctly. And if you'd like, she'll help you on the buying side as well, like she did for me. Helped us pick out our dream home. We're happy. Changed our lives. It's all because of Live Love. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternite FM, ESPN. Dan Williams is going to join us in just a moment. But before we get to Dan, look, lots of AP voters out there, right? Some are great at it. Some are not great at it. I mean, there used to be an entire column that GP wrote called Poll Attacks about bad AP voters in college basketball. Well, there is one particular, she happens to be a woman. I'm not saying that, you know, she's a bad AP voter because she's a woman. She happens to be a woman. Her AP poll this week has Florida moved up two spots from whatever they were, 13 to 11, and South Florida still unranked after South Florida went into Gainesville and beat the Gators as an 18.5-point underdog outright. And yeah. I know you're wondering, right? How could you do that? I mean, what's your logic? Well, the good news for you is that she was actually asked about this. She was asked about her logic. Haley Sawyer was. And this is what she had to say.
But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out, because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time with it.
Yeah, so that's...
Whoa.
Okay, so not much there.
I didn't hear any real reasoning.
What I heard is that she was covering the game late at night on Saturday, and she didn't watch any of the games, and she just woke up on Sunday and somehow missed that result. I don't care about AP votes, all right, unless my team is afflicted by them, to be clear. But if you are an AP voter, which I believe, Jason, you have been in the past.
Yes.
And you don't think that those votes matter, I would recommend that you no longer be an AP voter. I'm not saying that they matter, but if you're going to volunteer to do it, you should at least take it seriously. And it sounds like, just based on this clip, that she's not doing that. Based on moving Florida up two spots after they lose to South Florida and still having South Florida unranked, I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm not saying, but what I will say is that you're not taking this process seriously.
Yeah.
And so you should probably just relinquish your obligations there to the AP, because your poll is a complete joke.
I would say this, mistakes do happen. Having been an AP voter where you make a mistake, maybe she's done the homework and you literally, you know, in terms of how you had the teams, I'm not sure how she breaks it down. I know the way I did mine, but perhaps you missed a team in terms of moving. But my thing is, it's you should be, if this isn't something and she didn't claim it as a mistake, then it does. It appears to lack credibility when you don't have a reasoning for it. And it is. You take it on. You're asked whether you want to do this or not, and if you say yes, you should be willing to put the work in.
But absolutely,
I would still hold room for a mistake. But the issue was she didn't fess up to it. Like if you do that, I'd be willing to move on with her. Say, hey, this is what I meant to have, but since that wasn't there, it just sounds like there wasn't much put into it.
No, so just let somebody else do it, man. That's all. All right, we'll come back. Dan Williams is going to join us on the other side. Talk to him about NFL. What he's doing in the community, and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn FM, ESPN. Yep. It's one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Man, this is about the best intro on this show.
But I'm sitting next to one of the best guys I know. And Dan Williams, I've long forgiven for his sins of attending Tennessee. Dan Williams, longtime NFL defensive lineman, joining us today alongside Javon McKinnon from the CCIM, a big event coming up, a fundraiser there that Dan Williams is a part of. Fellas, welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here, man. Good to be here. Good to meet you guys.
Do we need to play the Arkansas State song too?
Hey,
it's not just Tennessee up in here.
Do we even have
the Arkansas State song?
He will actually perform it on a recorder. If that.
Hold on, I'll bring out my saxophone. I'll bust this thing out for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I love
Hold
it.
Hold on, let me hear this thing, because I don't think I've ever tuned in.
Come on, man.
We've had it on. Even Bush getting in.
Have we?
Yeah,
we had it. I don't think we've really.
You should have played it after we beat Memphis.
That was a long time ago, man. When's the last time that happened?
They still holding it up there. Talking about that Hail Mary.
Hey, it was during the time I was there. So
no,
yeah,
I get it.
Make sense.
Yeah. Playing linebacker, right out
linebacker.
Of Melrose.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Sir.
So, what's going on? I know Dan is involved. There's a fundraiser coming up. CCIM. I know his foundation. What is it? Playbook for Success is involved. Just kind of tell us what's going on and how people can get involved.
So CCIM stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member. We are an educational platform for commercial real estate agents or realtors alike. So we are putting on a fundraiser. We wanted to do something to, man, get our members active and, you know, involved. And we thought about it. We was like, hey, let's do good and do well. Doing good for the community, doing well for ourselves. And we saw that Playbook for Success was one of the people that we were looking at and saying, hey, you know, we had a couple other nonprofits that we wanted to bleed and show love and, for. And talking to Danny, I've known Danny a couple years now. So I was like, man, this dude is a gentle giant, man. But
yeah.
I see how much he gives and how much he's there for people. And I said, man, let's show this guy love. How many times do you have the opportunity to actually do that? And this is somebody that I felt was very worthy of that. And so we're doing the pickleball and cornhole tournament Friday.
Gotcha. This Friday?
Yes, sir. This Friday, September 12th.
Okay.
At Bluff City Pickleball.
All right. There we go. You going to get out there on the pickleball court?
Oh, man? Yeah, man. I'm terrible, though. My wife, she's pregnant. She's been kicking my butt.
Damn. So. Oh, wow. Sound like you out there all the time.
Oh, no. I've been out there like twice.
How many damn kids you got, man?
I got two and one on the way.
All right. Yep, so we're going. All right.
It's a bit.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
Was it an accident?
Oh, no. Okay, she was playing. Right. My wife wanted one more. She wanted them.
Congratulations.
Congrats, man. When does she do?
December 27th.
All right. You got a little time?
Oh, yeah, man. You know,
I see you out and about over the weekend. I know you're living it up.
Oh, yeah. I got to get it in for the baby comes. You know,
literally.
That's
right.
When that baby comes, like, hey, after the pickleball tournament, I'm going to get on the road and headed up to Knoxville. So
there you go.
I'm trying to get all my time in now. So I know it's going to be slow down once the baby's out.
All right, tell us about play. I know we've had you in. We talked when you were launching, and how long is it now?
Actually, man, we're going on year two now.
Year two.
So we were here last year. We were just getting started, trying to find a niche. So really, I mean, pretty much since that time, we've have done two health and wellness classes in the summer. I mean, two health and wellness camps in the summer. One at Cornerstone, Lester, and Denver in 2024, and then last year we was just with the Casault Schools PCA.
Got it.
This past summer, I feel like we always got good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, we're going to start with our literacy program with reading comprehension. We'll be at Mace with our school program.
Awesome.
So I'm very excited about that. So we, all the people who's working with us this year, they're, doing their background checks. So,
yeah.
So we are about to get started soon. So I'm really excited about
it. I don't have to say this because you're here, but I really love how, you go to the league from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go to the University of Memphis. You went to Tennessee. I mean, we all make mistakes.
Well, I just got my MBA from Memphis. So.
Okay,
He got it right.
But, you have, I can genuinely say that you have been extremely active in the community of Memphis. You didn't get to the NFL and get a nice crib in Arizona and just stay out in Arizona the whole time. Like, you came back here and you have really picked up a shovel in this community. And I think that's a really nice thing for you to do.
The biggest thing for me was, like, when I was in Oakland, it's like, I don't know. I mean, my buddy, Malcolm Ross, who came here last time with me.
Shout out to Malcolm.
Yeah, he's the executive director at Rise Memphis now. And he's been telling me for years, like, man, but you hadn't gone to Oakland, man. You didn't bring it home. He's like, Oakland, Memphis, very similar, big dog.
Yeah.
You know what you got going. But I just think, the biggest thing with me was, like, I had Marcus Wimbley. He was my coach.
Yep.
He got drafted. And really, my opportunity, like, I guess my dream of the NFL really started when he came back. I'm like, dude, you went to East? You ran the same hills I was running? The same fields? You played the – oh, yeah, it was possible. So that's what really got me going. And I feel like, I guess pretty much after I got cut and stuff, trying to figure out what I need to do. And, my wife's telling me I need to get out the house. So, I just really believe that, spending time with the youth here is like, get them hope, helping them set a good foundation, being a resource. People always go throw money at things, but I feel like time is, more important than money. And that's the reason I'm here, trying to be, just a reference, for the kids that I work with and a resource. Because one of the things we're going to do this fall is, some people I've met from my plan days, and I'm going to invite them to come speak to the kids. Some of the guys are investors, some of the guys are business owners.
Right.
Just because, when you are exposed to different things, I feel like, I need to share because, growing up in business, I didn't know none of this, and I think, some people know about it. There have been some very successful people here from the city, but it's just like, my dad always told me, man, he was the biggest one to tell me to start a foundation. From the day I got drafted, you need to get a foundation, you need to give back, and that's something that's, him not being here, but, I guess that's something we kind of makes me closer with him, when I do miss him. So it's just like,
that's awesome. It's
kind of on my mind a lot. So it's like, Pops, I'm going to go ahead and do that. I need to do that, give back to my community. And, that's what I'm trying to do now.
He's proud of you, smiling down. How great, and both of you guys can speak to this, is the need. You've come back and you planted and you're giving back, but you're seeing now the youth. And you're interacting with them. How great is the need here in Memphis for programs like this?
I think the need is great because, especially with NIL coming, we have a lot of talent here, and guys don't really understand, you know, I think I will say a lot of high school coaches around the city, they do a great job trying to tell their kids, you know, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to have your grades here. You need to be able to read.
Right.
Because, you know, when guys are successful, you know, it's like, hey, dude, you got a contract. You know, where's your money going? Like, you at least need, you know, basic, you know, let's get to your 6th, 7th grade level to at least understand it and comprehend it. Like, hey, you paying this guy 3% of your money when, you know, this guy is, you know, could be just good and you could pay him 2%. You know, there's more money in your pocket. You know, learn, you know, some of the kids I talk to, you know, they want to be YouTubers. They want to be they want to be some type of entertainer, you know, of course. And I was like, you know, especially when you can be an entertainer or rapper or something, like, they have like 3 or 4 people that's, you know, touch the money before they even get to them. So it's, I think, you know, me from being in, you know, kind of in that, that section a little bit and kind of understanding a few things, it's like, I think sometimes like a person like me come and tell them, hey, this is why it's important. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of hits home a little bit more, you know, because I mean, it's just like, you know, you see a lot of guys that's talented, they can't, you know, and I play with guys who can't read. So that's just been crazy, you know. And the thing about it, you put a play book in front of them, they could tell you
diagnose cover for thing, man,
everything.
Flip it over, have everything.
Yeah, but it's like, dang, you know, this dude making $5 million and, you know, he only getting, you know, one, you know, two after tax and stuff. So, and then he has to pay somebody 3% on top of that. And then, you know, he makes this investment and buying Bentleys. And I mean, I remember one time we had a 7th round pick, man. He went and bought him a $200,000 Bentley. Like, and I was like, dude, that's everything. And and really, it was 200. I mean, because even the sound bonus at the time, man, you know, it's 2010, you know. I mean, he might got about 250 or something. And then, you know, when they took their 49% out, you know, it looked different. So, but it's just, you know, just trying to share experiences that I've been in. I mean, I've been in rooms where, you know, guys spent, you know, $2 million on jewelry, like, and only picking up 4 pieces. Like, I'm like, dude, like, and he's like, dang, he wants something. I'm like, nah, you know, I'm going to go to K's. I'm going
to go. Man, speak to that real quick. Just growing up at Merrill's, the experiences and having good coaches that are around you, when they bring you in front of guys that are different, that have sat in your seat, have been exposed to what you have been exposed to and a little bit more, right? Good and bad. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I was looking at those moments and seeing those guys and like, don't do that. You know, learning from other people's experiences.
Absolutely.
So when it came down to it and being able to understand just that part of it, I mean, reading math, all of that was nothing at that point, right? Because we talking long-term wealth. We talking to Cedric Wilson, he coming back to the school, having conversations with us. I mean, I was playing with his little brothers, you know, so having guys like that come around and you seeing them, you're like, wow, okay, all right, he's not dumb. He's, you know, so, and all of that is a part of education.
Yep.
A big experience, my mama took me out of football when I made my first D in elementary at 10 years old. So she said, if you can't get the grades,
there you go,
you can't play. And I was like, okay, all right, I ain't too cool for school. Let me let me make it happen. Yeah. So
and for some men, the game is going to end. Like, there is that extreme and knowing how to have, you know, fill through agents and at what percentage and all that. But for so many, like the great majority.
It's a big thing when the game ends, the transition. You know, if you're doing anything for a long time, I think when that transition point hits, man, you kind of struggle if you don't have a backup plan and you look for things to do and just trying to reinvent yourself.
Whether it's out of college or whether it's out of the NFL, but whatever level, when it's time to make that transition, like you're saying, it could be
it could be a shock. I mean, some guys go the wrong way, right? You know, I know this guy. Let me go and do this, live this type of lifestyle. When really, hey, oh man, that doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't
add up. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. There's not a good ending there. Yeah.
Dan, I want to talk to you a little bit about some NFL matters.
Mm-hmm.
We may get to your fantasy strategy over the years at some point. We may not. last night on Monday Night Football, J.J. McCarthy, first start ever for the Vikings in his career on the road, had probably 3 of the worst quarters you'll see for an NFL quarterback. Comes out in that fourth and has the best fourth quarter you can probably see in an NFL, unless it's Josh Allen, of course.
Yeah.
But the stories that come out of this game are that J.J. McCarthy was, like, hyping up his defense. He was saying, look, my bad on that pick. Like, this is a 22-year-old kid. He's never started in a game. And I'm just curious as a guy that, you know, you played on the defense. You were the, you know, you were in the middle there on the interior. But how much and how much would it matter to you to see a quarterback have that ability, like to where he's going to come to you, he's going to be accountable, even if you're losing, hey, we good, we got this, I'll go make all that. Like, just, does that really resonate on an NFL team when a quarterback is willing to do that mid-game?
I mean, it does. I would say the biggest thing for me was the 2015 season when we finally, you know, for your Raiders, you know, we finally made it to the playoffs.
Man, thank God, man. That's y'all BSing.
I mean, with
last good year, man.
With I mean, you know, we had Derek Carr. You know, like the one thing, you know, Derek, but I mean, when you watch that play, you know, especially at pick six, you know, you know, the guy, I feel like the guy kind of baited him.
That was terrible throw.
But, you know, but you got to realize JJ, he's going through some rookie pains, you know, even though this year too, but this is his rookie season, essentially. But the thing is, he's made enough plays to where the whole team believes in him. And, I mean, from the coach to the whole team, it's like, okay, this guy's good. It's just like, and they know they have a veteran team. It's like, okay, we're going to go through some, you know, some bumps and bruises, but mm-hmm. we know at the end of the day, once he, like, when he got a hold of it, he just clicked. Like, you know,
oh, yeah.
the ball, like, I saw he threw the ball to Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson was, like, didn't complain,
right.
wasn't mad.
Exactly.
You know, got the touchdown, like, yeah. all right, come on, we about to go. So, I do think, you know, like I said, back in 2015 when –
You see, I wasn't like that with Derek, man. Y'all going to sit up here and act like y'all love Derek and stuff.
Oh, no, no, hey, now, early on – no, we did because when –
Early on, we did. Before,
No. I'm talking about when I was there, we did. Like, I don't know what they did after that. But I mean, that's when, you know, we had a young Coop. We had you know, Crabtree.
Yep.
They were making the plays. And, you know, you saw our season went down the drain after he got hurt. Because, you know, but DC, like, oh, my bad, man. I get the ball down for you.
Right.
Oh, my bad at this. And then, honestly, a lot of people, you know, they forget about the OC we had that year. What's his name? Because he ended up going to Denver after that. But I got to look it up. But when I get him, he was a good influence on Derek because – but Derek always come like, hey, big baby, I'm a well, big name, you know, hey, gives me the ball back, I'm gonna go score. And he did. Like this one, they, I think that year he led the league.
Oh, he was an MVP candidate.
Yeah, so yeah, he was MVP. Yeah, like that's what type of effect you have, even as a defense. Like, we know we keep this game close. You know, they believe that James
was it Musgrave?
Yeah, Musgrave. Yep. Okay, yeah, Musgrave. Yeah. Hey, to me, he was an offensive genius to me. I mean, he was a little, you know, he was. Some people call him a little weird, but I mean, he was a great OC, and I love, you know, playing for him. And it's just the fact that, you know, I think the way the Vikings' private thing is like, hey, we keep this game close, we keep mm-hmm. it to a chance, you know, arms reach to win it, you know, JJ get the job done.
What's that Giants locker room like right now where you've got a situation with Russell Wilson where you know, the guy's at his end and you have a ceiling with him, right? Maybe you even think, okay, well, he can give us a few good games, but you know that your future, you're going to find that out with Jackson Dart. You've seen Malik look frustrated.
Yeah.
I just wonder when you have vets that may have decided, you know what, we're not going to win anything with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the kid has. What do locker rooms get and how divided can they get in those situations?
Well, my thing is, you know, I feel like the Giants head coach, you know, he on the hot seat right now.
Dable.
So
yes.
he's like GM
too. Joe Shane
as well. Joe
Shane.
Yeah.
So they called it.
And I mean, it looked like Nate was mad at the coach. So I took that as play calling. Like it's maybe some plays that he wanted, or you know, tell him to, you know, give me the ball.
Okay.
But you know, a lot of the issues the Giants have been having for the last few years. You know, like you look at Daniel Jones. You put him in Indianapolis. He looked like Peyton Manning.
Man, that's what's crazy.
And and you know, Russell Wilson will run him for his life. You know, no one's blocking again. So, you know, just my opinion, I just think, you know, they just got to, you know, I think Russell still has enough in the tank to win games.
Okay.
But I do think it's a little bit of the, you know, the play calling and, you know, making sure, you know, you get the guys involved early. You know, Neighbors one of them guys, he wants the ball, he wants to do something with it, which he can.
You're going to have to give Scatterboo the ball.
Scatterboo.
Oh, man, he ran the ball really, really good. He put up some good blocks, too. I like Scatterboo. He got a little dog in him.
I agree, but the neighbors want the ball.
Yeah.
He's trying to do it. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's so much going on, but I just feel – but, you know, that's the first game. You know, people just got to, you know –
They stink, bro. They doesn't matter who it is.
I think Jackson is the only thing that can save Dable and Shane. He's their save our jobs card. But if you play it too early and he's terrible, well, then you're already throat cut. So they're kind of being careful.
And I think that's what it is because they don't have the excuse of, okay, he's a rookie quarterback. They ain't going to let them get away with that.
If you have to go to Jackson Dart, it's probably a wrap for you anyway,
yeah.
You know, just generally. But it is the only card they have left. So.
Yeah, it's the guy they drafted. untapped, and if yes. he comes in and looks electric, yes. it might save them. That's what they're banking on. Yeah. But if they play it too early and he's terrible, bro, everybody in, you know, they might as well fire him during the season.
Now, let me ask you this, because I do think that this conversation might be more wide open than it's been in the last few years, because mm-hmm. I think there's been some elevation, maybe some coming down. You got to drive. You got to get a score. What quarterback are you rolling with?
Talking to anybody in the league?
I mean, yeah, anybody in the league, man. A quarterback. I need you to pick a quarterback.
Quarterback. I mean, it's got to be Pat Mahomes, or I'll take Jalen Hurts, because, I mean, he showed that. I mean, the thing about it is, like, he just.
What about Josh Allen, man? How about Joe Burrow, man?
I mean, Josh.
How about Bo Nix?
John wants a brother to pick the white man, and y'all can't see.
I know my audience. I know Dan Williams.
Hey, I thought about that. That's why I said Pat Mahomes. You know,
that doesn't count, bro. That doesn't.
But I mean, it's just, to me, it's like Josh Allen. You know, when he gets to, like, okay, he finally got the MVP, but what is he gonna do? You know, in the playoffs, like, you know, he gets to the Super Bowl, yeah. he beat Patrick Mahomes.
That's fair.
You know, that's why I'll tell Josh Allen, you know, okay, I got him. Like, fantasy, I love Josh Allen. He'll be my first pick.
I think most. Well, no, he wouldn't, because
John
says
you would
it.
Not choose him.
You don't.
First.
You had many chances to do it in the past. So
I got to get the running backs first.
But it's interesting that you say Jalen Hurts. I think, like, that's a guy that most people would just not even think of.
No, I mean, Jalen.
Tell him.
He
that's a Super Bowl winner.
Man, tell him. Man. But it's just not, I mean, when you look at the way Jalen Hurts plays, he's definitely going to win you the game. So, and he's more honest with himself. Like, okay, I can't make that throw. Let me go run. I'm going to make it. All right. Now I know. I mean, just like the deep ball in the Super Bowl to, you know, A.J. Brown. You know, it was like
yep.
he did it. Like,
yep.
he didn't complete the play action. He just threw it. Like, okay, I need to make sure he gets the ball. So, yeah. I just like the way, you know, Jalen, he's not going to be that guy to sling it. Or, like, it's not going to be pretty, but it's like, I know this guy gets the job done. I don't care what it looks like. As long as we win, that's all that matters. And, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a winner.
Yep. Awesome, man.
I want to make sure I ask, how can folks get signed up yeah. to get y'all on the pickleball, be out there with y'all on the pickleball courts and everything?
Man, I have a link that I can get over to you guys. I don't know if you post it on the board.
Yeah, we'll
or
get it posted.
On your, yeah, okay. I can get that link over to you. And they can just go in and sign up directly on that link. It'll have anything. We'll also have any donations. So whatever. If you want to come and hang out, network, see the guys, meet Dan.
Yes.
It'll definitely be an opening opportunity. We're
going to
have some fun.
Show.
Yeah, we'll have some fun.
Sounds good. All right, before we get you out of here, I need a score prediction. Bulldogs on the road in Knoxville. This is a big game for Josh Heupel and the gang.
Then we'll get the ASU score prediction.
Yeah. They got Iowa State this weekend.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm thinking, my guys, I'm gonna take us 24-17.
Win?
Yep, Vols. Yep.
Nah, see, okay. He don't even believe that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. That's it. I'm
he starts sweating on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's weird, man. Hey, my boy, hey, I love the quarterback we got, man. And, I always in love, you know, with Tim Banks' defense. Like, so those guys going to come ready. You know, our D-line, Coach Gunther, Gardner, you're going to have them boys ready. So
love
we ready.
And you're going?
Oh, yeah, I'm on the road.
You get big love when you go back?
Man, I mean, it's cool. You know, hey,
you're a massive human being.
Man,
so.
I did an interview the other day. I found out I made the quarter century team on three sports or something. So
there you go.
I was like, hey, they like me like this. It was second team, though. You know, they got –
you still made it, though, bro.
Hey, there was – you know, they got John Henson and Albert Hainsworth. But, hey, I take
– I mean, that's cool. Albert Hainsworth.
And John
I still like that company, bro.
That's exactly
oh, yeah.
right.
Oh, yeah.
So, all second team, quarter century Tennessee Volunteer Dan Williams, Oakland Raider, Arizona Cardinal, Memphian. Thanks for coming in, Javon McKinnon, CCIM fundraiser this weekend in association with Playbook for Success. Thanks for coming in, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, Audie Turner FM, ESPN.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.